Bill Mills mentioned, a couple weeks ago, I ended the service 2 weeks ago by announcing that I'm resigning from Hillside this summer. And just looking at people's faces, it seems to me it was a shock. I would like to think that at least many of us would prefer if I stayed. But I want you to know that it was a very difficult decision. Billy Joe and I have been dealing with this for a very long time. You know, my life is here. My home is here. My ministry, my friends are all here. I love being with you, and I love working here, and I love the life that we all share together. And there is a huge risk in leaving. Okay, because for one thing, I'm leaving all that behind, right? I've had a few people talk to me about, you know, but you're leaving all your support behind, and we are. But we need to take that risk, okay? It may be that Billy Jo will do better, that she might heal more. It's likely that she will heal more if we go. Being farther away from the toxins, you know, a lot of the stuff that is in this church now was stored in the parsonage when we had it as an office and as a classroom. Okay, all my books, the furniture that's all upstairs, and all those things, if there were toxins in the parsonage that are causing the problem, are now here. And we need to try. Okay, that's what it comes down to, is we need to try this. And I know it's a time of great change for all of us, which means great risk. And great change and great risk always means fear. We become apprehensive. You know, it's going to be difficult for us. You know, it's going to be harder finding a church who is willing to hire me when I have a wife who is as sick as Billy Joe is. You know, most churches... And I know that in past searches that we have done, some of the questions are for the pastor's wife, and what is it you're going to do? Okay, churches expect, when they hire a pastor who is married, that the spouse is doing something too, and Billy Joe may not be able to. And for all of you, and we start thinking about a new pastor, and what kind of pastor is that going to be, right? And no matter how diligent of a search we do, no matter how careful we are, no matter how much we pray, what if the next person really isn't who we thought he would be or she? You know, what if we goof and the next guy is a goof, you know? What if his jokes are even worse than mine, right? As if that were possible, right? You know, what if the new pastor doesn't work with the leaders of the church that we have now, the staff that we have now? What if this doesn't work out, right? What kind of cultural changes will there be in the congregation, right? What's going to happen in our relationships? All those are great struggles. Today's parable teaches us to be obedient to God and not give in to fear. As a body and as individuals, we have been given much. We've been given a lot. Christ expects us to invest what we've been given, to use it to glorify Him. God expects us to use what we've been given doing His will. And we shouldn't fear where God is leading us. We should not fear the changes or the losses or the risks. Okay? The biggest problem that may be happening right now is that I am disobeying God. And that's between me and God. Right? And I am doing something God doesn't want me to do. Well, if I am doing that, God will make it good for you. Okay? God will make it good for you no matter what it is I'm doing. We shouldn't fear the change. We shouldn't fear the loss. We shouldn't fear the risk. I'd like to read Romans 8:14 and 15. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." We're a people who are led by the Holy Spirit. We listen to him and we follow him. And God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, is Daddy. He's Pop. He loves us. We don't have to fear. Come what may, God is with us. No matter how this works out, God is with us. No matter how this works out, we really need to keep living out our Christian faith. We have a world that needs Jesus. And they need to see us following him. One of the things that I have noticed over the years, and it's not just about me, but I've noticed it as I've watched some of you as well, as people go through things that are very difficult, and you've gone through worse than this, okay? This isn't fun. But as people go through things that are difficult, others watch us. And what does a Christian do when they go through things that no one would ever want to go through? And it's a great light. So let's read the parable. This is Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. So on page 983 of the Pew Bibles. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. It's a familiar parable, I imagine, to many of us. Jesus is sharing this parable. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold." Some of the translations will say talents. It's a talent is a large amount of gold. "To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The one who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained you 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I have harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, now in this parable, there's a man, a master. That's Jesus, and he's going away. This master, Jesus, has entrusted his wealth to his servants, and that's us. The master expects his servants to manage the master's wealth while he's gone. Now, those hearing this parable, they would understand the implication is that the servants are to use the wealth the way the master expects. They are managers of it. The master has gone a long time, and then he returns and he expects results from his servants. So we've talked about who the master is and who the servants are. What about the wealth? What does the wealth represent? Well, what belongs to Jesus that you've been given? An easy answer, I think, would be faith. Saving faith, our trust in Christ, such that we follow him. We believe that he is God, that he is master. We believe Jesus died, rose again, lives in heaven, and will return. What about our time? You know, we each have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have heard people talk about, I don't have enough time. Well, all of us have the same amount of time. None of you will have more time than I this coming week. And none of you will have less. Right? We could try to talk about relativity, but since none of us are probably going to deal in that anyway, it doesn't matter. In this speed gravity well that we are in, we are probably all going to experience the exact same number of seconds. So what about our priorities? What are we going to do with our time? What about our relationships, our influence over people, our influence in culture? You know, we have an ability to sow justice, to sow compassion, equality, righteousness. We have a world that desperately needs these kind of things. Taking care of creation, taking care of society. What about our talents, our abilities, our gifts, the things we're good at, and our money, our wealth, our belongings? I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus is using money to represent the stuff that the master has. I mean, do we have anything that is truly our own? Do we have anything that is independent of God, that is independent of his creation? Right? Reminds me of a supposed conversation between a scientist and a God, and a scientist and God. And, the scientist says, well, he is going to make life. And he starts to gather some things together, and God says, well, if you're going to make life, you have to start with your own matter. You can't use mine, right? We're all created. Two faithful servants do as the master demands. They're rewarded, and they share in the master's happiness. One servant doesn't do what the master demands. He's considered wicked, he's considered lazy, and he is cast out. There are other places in Scripture we read that to love Jesus is to obey him. Anyone who loves Jesus will obey his word. Jesus says that. He says, anyone who loves me will obey me. Now, doesn't that sound harsh? As we're sitting here, doesn't that sound rough? We live in grace, and we count on Jesus' forgiveness, rightfully so. We don't like to think that Jesus has demands or expectations. You know, we like to think that we can just do whatever we want now. It doesn't matter. Jesus has set us free, but we've been set free to live for him, not just to do what we want, not just to satisfy our own desires. See, we find life when we give back to Christ. When we give up our life and give it back to Jesus, we actually find life. When we insist on doing things our way, and we insist on holding our life to us as if I made the matter that my skin is made of, as if I'm truly self-made, that's when I find that I lose my life. And I just spend the rest of my days dying. We find fulfillment when we seek the way of Jesus. It's interesting why the lazy servant doesn't do what his master wants. He says he's afraid. He's afraid of failure. He's afraid of the master. The master is a harsh man, he says. And I was afraid. And in other words, I was afraid of you. I was afraid of failing. Well, we must not give in to fear. There are lots of things that we are afraid of. We need not fear where God is leading us. You know, I've gone back and forth for 2 weeks on whether to share this or not, but I'm going to do it. So I'm off topic, but I'm off my notes, but deal with it. Many of you will remember almost 13 years ago when Hillside asked me to be the pastor. I had been attending here for 14 years by then, had been pretty active, pretty involved, right? I'd become the assistant pastor, and I was helping David Voss for a couple years, two and a half. And I was working at Dresser Rand, and the search committee asked me to candidate, is the word, and then they brought it to the congregation to vote. Now, this isn't anything about making you feel bad, but just think about the decisions that we have to make, okay? Most leaders of the Wesleyan Church tell me I should not have taken this job because of how bad the vote was, okay? It wasn't a good vote. It was positive, but not by a lot. And I have had a general superintendent say, you know, if I'd realized that was the vote was, I would have told you no. You should never take a church when it's that close. Neil Copen, our district superintendent, had to approve it, had a special approval he had to make because it was so close. And I went and talked to him, and he just said, Rick, you know, I thought that you told me you thought this is what God wanted was for you to pastor there. And I said, I did, until the vote happened. And he said, well, God gave you the chance. So if you want to do it, I will support it. And don't worry about this vote. Let's see what happens in 2 years when they vote again. And if you remember, those of you who were here, a lot of people left. And a lot of people said, you know, I have known you, Rick, as a lot of things, but not as a pastor, and I don't think I can do this. And it was a tough time. Let's remember that. It was hard. It was hard on me, it was hard on you. So here we are again. The pastor that you almost didn't want has to leave because he's convinced God wants us to. And God worked it out, didn't he? We have seen growth here. Right? It's been good. Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad at all, and I don't feel bad about it. Okay, this is the way God works. God has something better in mind next. is what I'm trying to say. I think my time here has been right. And I have come to believe that it is time for you to have somebody else who will be different than I am. Because that's what we're ready for. Doesn't mean they're better. Doesn't mean they're worse. They're different. Okay, I have strengths and weaknesses, right? Let's be honest. Okay? And so will the next person. But because we're two different people, the next person's strengths and weaknesses will be different than mine, and God's going to use this person differently, and this congregation is going to grow and become different. We don't have to fear. Okay, it would have been wrong for me 13 years ago to give into the fear of the fact that conventional wisdom would have said, don't become the pastor of Hillside. We don't have to give into the fear of anything else. We don't have to fear the risks. We don't have to fear to do what God wants us to do. The greatest risk is to not obey. The greatest loss is to not obey. It really doesn't matter how much we're given. It doesn't matter how much, you know, in the realm of bags of gold, you know, this, you could have had a fourth person who had, you know, a lead coin. He was given one lead coin and told to do whatever he could with that. Maybe he's just given a rock. Here, take this pebble and do what you can. It doesn't matter what we are given. It doesn't matter how much we are given. As individuals and as a congregation, it doesn't matter exactly what God asks us to do. It just doesn't matter. The greatest loss is to not obey. And the greatest joy is found in obedience. Now, as we celebrate communion, we remember that Jesus died for us. He died to set us free to a full life. He died to set us free to have a wonderful life following him. See, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." I mean, think of the King of the world, the King of the universe, allowing himself to be broken for you and me. And after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." The King of the universe allowed his life to be poured out, his blood to run out, and his life to be ended so that we could have a full life forever with him. Forever. The ushers would please come forward. As we take the bread and then the juice, let's remember what Jesus did for us. And this God Almighty, who is alive in heaven, isn't going to fail us now. Let's pray. Lord God, we worship you. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you. As we take this bread and this juice, fill us with courage. Strengthen us as individuals and as a body to do your will, to live for you, no matter what the risks may look like, no matter what kind of fear may start to well up inside of us. Give us the courage to push the fear away and to follow you anyway. In Jesus' name, amen. As you take the bread, it is gluten-free. Just pray and eat it. We come to Christ individually. As we do the juice, I'm going to ask you to hold it, and we'll drink it together, signifying the unity that we have in the one Holy Spirit. So this is the body of Christ broken for you. Again, when you get the cup of juice, you will please hold it, and we will drink it together. It's a symbol of our unity in the Holy Spirit. One Holy Spirit has made us one body. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Lord God, we worship you, we love you, we give you thanks for the everlasting life that you have bought for us and given to us as a free gift. Amen.